So have you ever missed an opportunity, maybe even a life-changing one? You know, the kind where you walk away maybe a little later after you just find out, and you know, you kind of do that with your hand on your forehead. If I had only known, you know, if I had only known apple stock wasn't a fruit. Did you ever do that? I mean, I know I have. And something like that happened just a couple hundred miles from here in Cabarrus County in North Carolina. 12-year-old Conrad Reed, he found this shiny rock, a big one, in the stream bed on the family farm, and he took it home to show to his dad, and his dad thought it was a really cool rock, but he didn't really know what it was, but it was heavy, and he found out it actually made a great doorstop. So he put this nice shiny rock there by the door, and it sat there. Family walked by it for a few years until the local jeweler saw it. And then he bought it from them at this ridiculously low price. It was a 17-pound gold nugget. And the Carolina Gold Rush, which was actually the first gold rush in American history. It's not as well known. It wasn't as big as the California Gold Rush, but it began not too far from here in 1803. When I was a boy, I used to love going to streams and hills not far from where I lived in California. Of course, I'd been fascinated by the whole gold rush thing, and one of the things I'd love to do was look for shiny rocks. And, you know, even the smallest, I was thinking maybe more in terms of gold dust and the like, and I'd find some shiny stuff, and my dad had some awareness of minerals, and I'd bring it to him, and he'd say something like, "Nope. That's just mica. And then here, just see if you can crush it in your fingers." And I'd do that, and sure enough, it would just crumble in my hands. And then he'd say, "Well, you know, that it looks like gold, and it tricks a lot of people. And that's why sometimes it's called fool's gold." Gold. Fool's gold. That's the direction we'll be moving in this morning. But I want to begin by asking, do you know how valuable you are to God? It's an incredibly mind-boggling thing that we serve a God who is so great that he delights in the most infinitesimal detail. Think about it. He's the God not only of neutrons and electrons, he's the God of subatomic particles. And he keeps us alive every moment, sustains us as we live. And we have no control over that. Ultimately, the way that we breathe, involuntary action, the beating of our hearts, involuntary action, flow of neurons, blood in our veins. I don't know about you, I'm not controlling any of that right now. But he holds us up every moment. And we are so vital and so precious to him that he would go to the ultimate length that we are capable of understanding, the cross, death for us, to get our attention and draw us to himself. That's how valued we are to him. And he's done this because he wants to be valued by us. He wants us to enter into a relationship with him. I just got to see. Sometimes the pastor gets to look out the window. A hummingbird just looked out the window and flew off. oh, my goodness. We have a hummingbird and baby bunnies out the window this morning as well. We have a God who created us and longs for us to know him. And that brings us to our scripture this morning, Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, Paul writes, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you've already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the days you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You know, I was so grateful to have the opportunity that I did the past few weeks to preach with my son, because looking at how the Lord has rescued him from the dominion of darkness and realizing this is the work that he wants to do through us. Just yesterday, I was standing at a Habitat for Humanity store checking out and signing up for something, and the guy was asking me for my name, and as soon as I said my name, a woman standing about 12 feet away whips around. And it's someone who had attended a church I had served years ago. But the amazing thing was that she has a son who's also wrestled with addiction. And he's doing better. But in that moment, we were able to stand there and pray for him. And it was one of those God-ordained things where he would put us both right there in that moment at that time. And Paul is writing this letter to others who have been rescued out of darkness. And even though he is in prison in Rome, and he's soon to be executed by this psychotic Emperor Nero, Paul's happy as he writes these words because of what's in his heart. His heart is full of something the world can't take away. And notice how he starts by telling them he's thankful whenever he prays for them. And then he gets to the gold, if you will, the reasons why he's thankful. And you might want to underline some of the words in verses 4 through 6. Because we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven. A little background. Paul didn't start the church in Colossae. Epaphras did. You see that in verses 7 and 8. But he knows the church, and he knows it's a loving church. And when I was reading these words, I immediately thought of peace. You know, as I'm reading through, and again, this is part of our scripture reading. If you've been participating with us through the year, we're doing the 5-5-5 reading plan, where we're reading through the entire New Testament. It just takes 5 days a week, and actually, you can do a week in one sitting pretty easily. And anyhow, as we do this, you know, I'm sitting here praying, Lord, what do you want me to preach on this Sunday? Where are we to go? And as soon as I jumped in, I immediately thought of the love of the Spirit of the Lord at work in this church. And I can say that because I think of what Dennis told me. I think of what Robbie told me after they had preached, and how warmly you received them, how how lovingly you accepted them, and how blessed they felt to be part of this church in that moment. And that is the work of the Spirit in us. That is His worth. Because you and I know that it's sad to say, but there are plenty of churches that are not that way. And there may be many reasons for that. I don't want to get into that too much because I don't want to seem critical in my own spirit. But at the same time, this is why we have to pray. Because as we pray, and you'll notice this whole passage that we're looking at this morning actually is a prayer. He's telling them about how he prays, and then he continues to pray as he's telling them about how he prays. And God's love moves through that. And you and I know this, because if you've got something against someone, and they're sitting there, you know, and let's say you're in the prayer meeting together, and all of a sudden Jesus walks in the room and you know that he's there, then you got to give that up really quickly. Because it's just very uncomfortable knowing that Jesus is there and he won't let you off the hook. Because if he's forgiven you, then you've got to go there. You've got to go there. But what this is about is something that is of such incalculable worth, faith, love, hope, stored up in heaven. These are the real treasures that you and I are called to live in and live for. You know, as a pastor who has held the hands of a lot of dying people, I have never once seen a person on their deathbed say, "I should have bought that Porsche." You know, it's always been, "I wish I had been more loving. Oh, if I had only had more faith. Oh, I hope I'm going to heaven." These are the treasures that sit by our door. And we either walk past them without knowing their worth, or we pick them up and share them. The faith and hope and love we have because of Jesus are true riches. So let's keep reading in verse 9. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who's qualified you." Qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of life, light. So Paul prays for them to know God better in every way. Look at those, just look at those words in verse 9 in order: knowledge, wisdom, understanding. These are gifts that God wants to pour into our lives through His Spirit. There are things that He wants to show us that we will not see any other way. There are things He wants to tell us in a moment. And it never ceases to amaze me. Two Sundays ago when I was preaching at Port City, three Sundays ago when I was watching Jeff preach, I was thinking about the following Sunday and what I had coming up. And I thought, you know, I had this song running through my head. And I thought, well, were we singing that song? I guess we were singing it this morning. And then I went back into the second service, and we didn't sing that song. But after the service, Jeff comes up to me, and he said, I just spoke with the worship team, and they think that next Sunday, after you preach, they should really do this song. And that was the one. That was the one. And I mean, it was just so clear that again, God was in this. So there's also another interesting phrase as we look at all of this. I mentioned that he's qualified us, and there's this interesting expression about living our lives worthy of the Lord so that we may please him. And what that means doesn't mean that we could ever earn what he could do for us. But what it means, that word worthy actually in the original language is defined by weight. It's again something of weight, something of worth. It points to the truth of what God has poured into us and what he has done for us. And when someone loves you like that, you can't help loving him back. So the life described here is one where we want to love Jesus more and bear fruit from him, and that's the real treasure. And it's one that keeps getting better. I love what author and believer, poet, George MacDonald wrote. Just listen to this phrase. You might want to write it down. Obedience is the opener of eyes. Obedience is the opener of eyes. As we live more to love him, God pours into us and gives us strength and endurance and patience and increases our depth of gratitude. Look again at these words in verse 12. He's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the holy people in the kingdom of life. And then it continues, for he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Even now, he's rescued us. Even now, something has happened within us through his Spirit. Even now, you and I are part of something that is of such lasting worth. We feel it. We sense it in our spirits. But we're not home yet. Still, it's coming. I love what C.S. Lewis wrote in the Chronicles of Narnia when he spoke of Aslan being on the move. And you saw this frozen place that begins to thaw out. And then toward the end of the series, you get to their heading to Aslan's country. And you know, you and I can gaze on a sunset or the beauty of God's creation, and it takes our breath away. And yet to realize that is part of a fallen world, a broken order. That what is coming is perfect, and you and I, by God's kindness to us through Jesus, as we receive him, you and I are welcomed into this. I like the way the New Living Translation explains the meaning of the words we just read in verse 14. It simply says, who purchased our freedom, and forgave our sins. God sets us free to live in this new reality that is greater than anything that we know on this earth. People say that wealth is freedom, but I find that those who think that way so often make the mistake of being trapped by their own things. And their things end up owning them. But the real worth, the faith, the love, the hope that Jesus gives, it really does set us free. No matter what you may have in terms of stuff, you have that, and you're alive. So as we draw to a close this morning, I'd just like to ask you, please, think about Do you know how treasured you are? Do you know the wealth that we have been called into in Him? Is that increasingly your joy? Scripture says in one place, awake, O sleeper, and Christ will dawn on you. Oh, and I love that concept. I think we're waking up in Him to who He is, to all that we have in Him. So I'd ask you, where is your real treasure this morning? Is it here? Is it here? Or is it in those things that we grasp? Because even now, Jesus holds out His hands to us and welcomes us into life, welcomes us into this worth. And no matter how long we've known Him, no matter how long we may have walked with Him, it's only the beginning. This is the God of infinite things. I think sometimes he looks at the things we grasp and hang on to. And even God asks why. You see that in His word sometimes. It's this, why do you run after these things when there's so much more that I long to give you? And He, most of all, is the greatest gift of all. He longs to give us Himself. What Paul speaks of in this that we just read is through His Spirit, whom He gives us, whom Jesus promised when He said that the Father would make His home in us. So if you've already received this gift, don't walk past it. Pick it up. Cash it in. Know it. Live it. And if you haven't received it, He's brought you here today so that you can, so that you may, to welcome Him as He welcomes you. The amazing thing about God is how He loves us so perfectly. He knows us. He knows, you know, even those places where we think our motives are right, and then you get 30 years or even, 5 years down the line, and you look back and you say, oh, man. And even then, God just welcomes us. You think of Jesus. You think of whom He hung out with. You think of His mercy, His tenderness. Psalm 34:8 sums up the matter well. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy, blessed are those who take refuge in Him. May we pray. Lord, thank You for loving us with this love that defies description. It's so good. It's so rich. Thank You for holding out Your arms to us. And thank You at the same time for not violating our free will. that you give us this opportunity to turn to you, to love you. And Lord, we ask that you help us in this, to love you more, to walk with you more. And if you've never received him, if you've never had that moment where you look at Jesus and what he did, and maybe right now it's clearer than it's ever has been, he's helped you with this morning, as he does all of us, to see him in ways we never have before. Oh, would you please welcome his love in, welcome him in. We do this by admitting our need, by admitting that we've sinned, and by asking him to give us a new beginning. And by thanking him that he will. Because as we pray that way and say, Lord, forgive me, I want to start fresh with you. Come into my life. Then he gives us his spirit. We may not feel it in the moment, and sometimes we do. And everything changes. And the hope of heaven becomes ours. Oh Lord, we praise you. You are that hope. You are our hope. And it is hope that touches us even here, even now. And so we look to you in faith and love and praise you that you loved us first. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.